Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Vritrasura's Glorious Death. And text 9. It speaks about all kinds of energy. Famous in Ayurveda. Ojasaho balam pranam. Amritam rityum eva cha tam agyaya jano hetum atmanam manyate jaram oja, the strength of the senses, sa, the strength of the mind, balam, the strength of the body. Pranam, the living condition. Amritam, immortality. Mrityum, death. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Tam, him, the Supreme Lord. Agyayam, without knowledge. Jana, a foolish person. Hetum, the cause. Atmanam, the body. Manyate, considers. Jaram, although as good as stone. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada we will have in the next verse. So you'll read more than one verse. Our sensory prowess, prowess is a nice, rather rare word in English. Prowess means something like power, but more elegant than some kind of power. Our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, prana, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. These are famous terms. Oja, all of them mean energy, some kind of energy or power. So Bala is the most famous or simple. We have a very dear form of God who has this word in his name. Sometimes you can just say Bala, and that's who? Balaram. Yes, Balaram. He is protecting the devotees and giving them the power. Bala. So that's translated here as the strength of the body, bala. This is one type of energy. Then we have prana. Prana, it says here living force. So this is the five principal, five secondary life airs, which you get moving and running by exercise, by yoga, by pranayama. So you can, it's a good time to inhale for the first time in the last 20 minutes. Well, we were dancing, okay. So prana. Then saha, the strength of the mind. And I don't know how is it connected or not, that it's also similar to tol. So we have some words. Taroriva sahishnuna. I mean, some words connected to saha, so some strength is there for tolerance in the mind. And oja. Here it says the strength of the senses, but some Ayurveda, for example, says it's this most subtle type of energy, oja. And some refer to it as immunity. So it says that each one of us has one little teeny drop of oja in the heart. which is lost at sex. And then you recover by, you have to eat a truck of good food from Madhu Manohar Prabhu's farm. Then you get half a drop back. Or you can chant attentively and meditate and read attentively, and then it also sort of condenses from everything else. Even this famous half-mystical Cyrillian photography, or Cyrillian, I don't know how you, what's, I think Bhanu Swami says Cyrillian, who makes pictures of aura, yeah? Some kind of subtle light around the body. And then he says most people have this aura cracked. So therefore we are very, you know, it's like having a cracked skin. You are very sensitive, uncomfortable. The smallest, stupidest bug, the stupidest microbe can get in. What's safe for others is not safe for the person with a cracked skin. Yeah. So same with aura. But the same Cyrillian photography shows that if you do physical exercise for 10 minutes, the cracks smooth out and close. The same happens if you meditate at least for 5-10 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes, chant one good round. And how to speak about 16 rounds? What to speak about 16 good rounds? Okay. So that's the power of Oja and the power of spiritual practices and prana. So it's all interconnected. And they go from different sides. You can influence one through the other. People who are very gross, they can influence through the physical exercise. Again, nothing wrong with physical exercise, but they should also know that there are other areas. You can do it through the prana, through breathing. That's also connected usually to exercise. You can breathe one more time. And the mind also. So from one to another, it can go. Like, for example, when you become super, super focused in the mind, as when you are threading a needle, or I think it's already old-fashioned, you are soldering something with a solder iron. You know, there's this like hot stick, and you are some wires in it. I think that's last age already, last century, past time. You used to have devotees who could fix anything. You had a player, and they could fix any player, no matter what happens. Yeah? So they would have a soldering iron. So if you observe, you would stop breathing. That's pranayama. So from the concentration of the mind, it would translate into changed breathing, same as with pranayama. And vice versa. If you regulate your breathing, you can breathe again. Okay. So all of it. So our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think that the dull material body is the cause of their activities. So Vritrasura is preaching to Indra. So Indra has lost all of his saha, oja, he lost all of his courage, and he thinks it's finished. It's a very amazing story. Text 10. Yatha darumayi nari yatha patramayo mriga hetam bhutani maghav isha tantrani viddibo. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, even if they have a battery or a rubber something wind in, or some spring. Still, there has to be somebody who puts the battery or puts the rubber or winds the rubber, right? Still not independent. But depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Purport. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.142. Ekale Ishvare Krishna ar sabhavritya jare joiche nachaya setoiche kore nritya. Lord Krishna alone is the Supreme Controller, and all others are His servants. They dance as He makes them do so. We are all servants of Krishna. So that's the end of the translation. We are all servants of Krishna. We have no independence. We are dancing according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but out of ignorance and illusion, we think we are independent of the Supreme Will. Therefore it is said, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. We are dependent on Krishna, and a devotee is somebody who accepts this, that everything depends on Krishna. However, there is a big however. There is something that depends on us. What depends on us? What is the struggle? What depends on us is to accept that we are dependent on Krishna. So this is one thing that where we are independent. We can think we are independent, although we are dependent. So this is one thing where we are independent. So a devotee is somebody who accepts, independently I depend on Krishna. I use my independence to become fully dependent on Krishna. So, and there is a very interesting verse in the Gita, quoted from the prayers of personified Vedas, in the purport to 7.5, where the personified Vedas very cleverly present a paradox. So the personified Vedas are have a very, very difficult melody, which sounds a little bit like a lullaby. Aparimita druva stanubrito yadi sarvagata starhina shasyate tiniyamo druva netaratha ajanicha yanmayam tadavimuchyani yantri bhavet samamandu janatam yadamatam matadushtatayam. You can hear, even there is a little drum here. Yadamatam matadushtatayam. Tam ta ta tam ta tam tam tam. It's so beautiful. So they say, O Supreme Eternal, If the embodied living entities were eternal and all-pervading like you, then they would not be under your control. But if the living entities are accepted as minute energies of your lordship, then they are at once subject to your supreme control. Therefore, the real liberation entails surrender by the living entities to your control, and that surrender will make them happy. In that constitutional position only can they be controllers. So here is the joke. This is the joke. If I think I'm the controller, I will be controlled. This is the trap. Yeah. If I go for the cheese, I'll be trapped. If you don't go for the cheese, then you can eat the cheese. Then, so if I think I'm the controller, independent controller, then I will be controlled through the false ego. And if I accept that, no, I'm dependent on Krishna, no, I better find out Krishna's plan, follow Krishna's plan, and all of a sudden, you're no longer controlled by Maya. You're no longer controlled by the gross plan of Maya. So it's a very interesting paradox about dependence and independence. So I think this is, I'm considering this in the last few weeks or months, that as devotees, it seems that from ourselves and from others, we expect some mystic powers. We think, okay, some mystic, some special success. We think, okay, so you are a bhakti yogi. So, as bhakti yogi, as a yogi, and especially the best yogi, you must do something special, something amazing. You must manifest some special power, some special success. Can be of different kinds. Maybe somebody can go without food or without much food or be very active and successful with little sleep. Somebody can be very successful in at least getting followers and temples. Right? Or at least something has to be there. And if there is not this, not that, then I'm not sure. Is he a good devotee? But does devotion depend on, or is it a sign of success in devotion? That the person gets material success or mystical success, even spiritual success? Like you can see here, we have Chitraketu. Okay, he was an emperor before he joined the Hare Krishna movement. Then he had one little trouble, no children. I forgot how many million wives he had. How many? 1 million. Only? Okay. It's like half Slovenia. Still no children. Chitraketu, yes? Actually, it's coming in the next chapters. And he suffered. And he suffered. So, as a classic standard loser, you know, completely unsuccessful person in life. So what? He's an emperor. So what? He has a million wives. No children. Unsuccessful. Not even one son. So, loser. One pigeon, you know, just one act of sex, one birth, and nine, one little. And he's an emperor, no children. Very miserable. So then, finally, Agastya comes, and then Narada is there, so the Munis, yeah, and they say, well, look, you can't have. He says, but please, maybe, somehow. So can you empathize with the king? Can you empathize with Chittaketa? Oh, poor chap, no children. I think we have lost this understanding. Okay, no children, so what? You know. But actually some people still love children, and this is good. This is a good sign. I mean, it's the sign of a nice society of or civilization or culture where women are protected, helped. Protected doesn't mean suppressed, put on chain or something. It means they are helped in whatever way is necessary. Then children are helped and protected. Cows are protected. Again, protected doesn't mean that they are just kept as useless animals. No, they are. They want to. Bulls want to do something, and cows want to give milk. So much so that in our society we have. I know now at least 3 or 4 cases where you have cows who are brahmacharinis and give milk. Just out of love for. I don't know exactly. Devotees, Krishna, Dharma, the cow protection movement, or some pious acts in past. You know, they just see, cows give milk. These guys are nice. They know. They know. I've seen, like, we had a temple in South Russia, Sochi, BBT, 20 languages were there. It's a nice place, you know, mountain, sea. And it was the 90s. It was very free still. And the locals would just let the cows go, wander. I visited in already 10 years later, and devotees told me some nearby, there's one, the oldest village, how you call it, village community, country community, village community, in the world probably, from the 70s. It was the place where dissidents and political untrustworthy people were exiled for centuries. So devotees like went straight there. Because at least it was not Siberia, it was south, you know, it was not so cold. So devotees started the... so you have big community of devotees there. So one devotee, very nice devotee, Achyuta something, Achyutananda, I think. So he said, we cannot travel, because if we go immediately, our cows and bulls will be stolen and sold for meat. So you have to stay all the time there so that to protect the cows just from being killed. And but there at that time it was, they would just, in the morning they would send the cows out, and the cows would go around and find grass. There was plenty of grass in the mountains. And in the evening they would go back home. They know the way, they know the grass. They have enough intelligence, so they just go, eat, come back, right? All clear. But then they found the ISKCON temple. And then it was a classic picture, you know, that it's like the sun sets down, it's getting dark, and then you see some guy comes running with a stick. He already knows where to look for the cows, because the sun set down, and the cows, they just lie down in we have the big yard, huge courtyard. There were no trees and hardly any grass, but, you know, they knew devotees, you know. So they said, no, we live here. We don't want to go back to those people. We want to stay here. Because devotees don't look them as a burger, at them as at a burger. They don't see them as a piece of meat. They see them as a living entity, as a soul. And they know it. They feel it. You know, these people, maybe they even feed us in the winter, although it doesn't snow, hardly snows there, but they look at us as a piece of meat. And these devotees are different. So they feel, they know, they understand. And they understand how you... So this Surabhi in Simhachalam, she's a brahmacharini. I don't remember. Radhika in Manor, she's a brahmacharini. So they look, we give milk, so then they milk, so she comes. as if, you know, milk me too. So they try, and slowly, slowly she starts giving milk. So veterinarians can't believe it. You know, they say, you must be cheating. She must have had a cough. It's impossible. They don't give milk without giving birth to children, right? To calves. So, why did I speak about cows and cows giving milk? Brahmacharini is giving milk. How did I end up with the cows giving milk without? So it's all, yeah, Chitraketu, he wants children and to like, the birds, the pigeons. Chitraketu wanted children. How did I end up with the cows? Huh? Oh, yeah, protection. Thank you, yes. Thank you, yes. So, loving children is actually the sign of a very, grown-up, mature culture, meaning that you understand and you like. In other words, as in an infantile society, you protect me, okay? I need protection. I'm a baby, you protect me. And the government also must protect me. And everybody should protect me. And the temple president should protect me. And the temple council. And the regional secretary and whatever. And the GBC. Yes? I'm to be protected. Whereas growth means why shouldn't I give protection also? To whoever is my appropriate role to give protection to. So it could be, in general, just being a well-wisher of the society, trying to contribute to the society through Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Book distribution, beautiful deity worship, beautiful temple programs, beautiful preaching, counseling in the temple, helping others, family, whoever is a family person. So, five categories. Older people, children, brahmanas, cows, and women. Yes? So, the five classic categories which cultured society protects. You can see even the modern, like EU or whatever, Europe, it's the law. There are some laws to protect people who can't protect themselves or who may have trouble protecting themselves. There are laws. It's barbarian not to protect. Of course, the cows are still there, abused, and the law doesn't seem to protect them much. But somewhere, like just, I think yesterday, what was it, Haryana? I think Haryana, all the animals have been given the legal rights as physical persons. They can be protected in court. Of course, they need to find a lawyer, but that's, which might be not so easy for a cow. But if somebody helps to find a lawyer for her, then it... At least the idea is good, right? Protection. So Chitraketu wanted children. Agastya said, you can't. He said, but please. So then he blesses, and then he has Harsha Shoka. Then he dies. So he loses, and then he joins. He becomes a devotee. He loses the child, and he becomes a devotee. He becomes a devotee, and here he becomes a demon. He becomes a demon by a curse without deserving to be cursed. He does not deserve to be cursed. It's unfair. And he could have stated, please, I didn't laugh at Lord Shiva. It was not my fault. I didn't want to make fun of him. Mother, please. But what does he do? He just comes and he says, Mother, whatever you say is Krishna's mercy. Whatever I say, your mercy, thank you very much. Which astonishes her, delights Lord Shiva, says, see, these are Krishna's devotees. They're not afraid of hell. She becomes ashamed. It's as she covers her face with the sari. and then he's Ritrasura here, a demon. So you can say, how... Well done. So you can say, so he's a demon, so then finished. What independence do you have? No, you have still. Everybody has some... Everybody in the 400,000 human forms of life, even in a completely demonic... Vritrasara is the biggest, worst, baddest, demoniacest, most demoniac demon in the universe. Most demoniac demon in the universe. Like every Veda speaks about Vritra as the very, very, very bad demon. Yes? But the Bhagavatam is showing no, still he's using his independence to accept Krishna. And here he says, what does he say? He is defeated. First, one arm is cut by Indra, but he doesn't give up, he continues his duty. He smashes Indra on the head with a mace, and Indra is defeated, and he gives up. So this is, you can see, for 20 verses, Vritra is preaching. He says, Indra, do your duty. Indra, keep fighting. Indra, look, we are all not independent. You're the king of the heavenly planets. You must fight. Please fight. It all depends on Krishna. You never know. You never know. Just like, see, I was defeated and now I'm winning. Now you're defeated, but if you try, maybe you will win. It's amazing. He's preaching. First of all, it's a very sporting behavior. Very good sportsmanship, right? Huh? Fair play, yeah, very fair. He doesn't want to win unfairly by some tricks. He's very fair. And second of all, you can see he's a devotee. Even in that body. Actually, he's a better devotee in that sense that he's completely conscious and he's using his consciousness to accept Krishna's will. So, okay, he's been cursed to be a demon, so he's dancing as a demon. But he remembers, I'm not a demon, I'm a devotee. And such beautiful prayers. I was told even Gandhi was quoting that like a bird is hankering for the mother coming to the nest, I want to come to Krishna. As a calf hankering for the mother, I want to go. So very famous verses. I want nothing in the world, not even the Brahma Loka. I just want Krishna. And he leaves this world in full samadhi, in trance. So a very interesting lesson here. Canto 6 is dedicated to the topic of... Prelter... More specifically, which topic? There are 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Poshanam, yes. Prabhupada in the introduction to the canto says Poshanam. What means Poshanam? Protection. Protection, nurture, grace, mercy, support. Nourishment of devotees. So canto 5 describes how Krishna nourishes and protects religious people if they follow religion. Canto 6 describes how Krishna protects and nourishes and supports devotees even if somehow or other they happen not to be religious. They make some mistake. Not on purpose, preferably. But Canto 6 begins with this story of Ajamil. And then we have the demon Ritrasura, and you can see they are protected. You can say, how is he protected? He's cursed to become an ugly demon. What kind of protection is it? Do you want to be an ugly demon? I don't. I mean, I'm already an ugly demon. Too late for that. At least inside. It, maybe you don't see it, you know, so clearly, but I know, he knows. So how is it protection? Where is the protection? Bhakti, yes, bhakti is protected and chance is given, so you can still choose Krishna. If you want to keep choosing, you can keep choosing Krishna. And you can return. So Indra stays if Ritra returns. And you can see Indra after that for 1,000 years, he has to hide. Running away from a personified sin. He has to go into a lake, into a stem of a lotus. And he's hungry because fire is afraid to bring Indra's yajna portion into the water. Right? It's water, so fire doesn't go into the water. So 1,000 years also can't eat. Very difficult.
Is this just one moment for him?
No, 1,000 years. It's tough. You can see it is really tough for him too. So here it illustrates how Vritrasura, how a human being can use the independence for Krishna. We are dependent on Krishna, in fact, and our independence is our attitude or consciousness or mood, desires and choice. So you can direct this mood towards Krishna. I'm Krishna Das, Krishna Das and Das. This is also the last prayer, you can see, last chapter is the last prayer of Vritrasura. So beautiful. It says, Mamottama Shloka Janeshu Sakyam. Samsara chakra. Oh, my Lord, my Master, whatever samsara chakra, wherever I wander, may I always be, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. Uttama shloka janeshu. Your uttama shloka, you're described in the elevated transcendental poetry. And so, devotees who worship you, I want their sakyam, their friendship. So that's all I want. Not even go, be free. Let me, okay, wander then wander, no problem. But please, if anything, this association, friendship with your Uttama Shloka Jana, devotees, your devotees. So that's what's his choice, his mood. So that's, you can see his mood. So he put me in this ugly demon's body. Okay, I'm dancing. But I'm dancing for you. I'm dancing for you. I'm doing this for you. So that's, you can see he's still a bhakta. He's still a bhakta. So if he can continue, do we have hope? Do you have hope?
Yes.
Are you sure? Yes, he has spirit souls. And just look around. You have so many Uttama Shloka Janas. So, what Vritrasura is praying for, you have. He's praying for, and you already have. So, throughout the Bhagavatam, everybody is praying for it, you have it. You have devotees, you have the Bhagavatam, you have the Uttamottama Shloka. What is the Uttamottama Shloka? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you're not Uttama Shlokas, you are Uttamottama Shloka, Jana. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Uttama Shloka Janas ki jai. Vritrasura's glorious death, also jai. Hare Krishna. So, comments, questions, points?
Can you describe this in which way Prahlad Maharaj, for example, or Vaj Maharaj wrote in words so that he was described as demon, what precise activities was he doing? He was not described as a devotee, but like demon, killing people, stealing. How
common? We use the word demon, was it also online? No, it wasn't. Yeah, how Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj ruled the universe, that they are still demons. Среди 11. The word demon can have two meanings. Usually, especially nowadays, we use it as demon by qualities and going against the Lord, the Supreme Lord, the plan of the Lord. It was a very beautiful purport in the previous. The difference between the suras and the asuras is that the suras know that nothing. Who can continue? Suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. Whereas the asuras cannot understand the supreme will of the Lord. And so therefore he says, in this fight, Vritrasura is actually the sura, whereas Indra is the asura. Hare Krishna. So this is one take, you know, who is demoniac, who is divine, meaning accepting the will of the plan of Krishna. But there is another meaning in the sense of having a dynasty. So you can see that there are daityas, danavas, who are traditionally asuras, inimical to the demigods. They have competition with the servants of Vishnu, of the Lord. They have a competition. And so Prahlad, Vali Maharaj are from that dynasty, so they rule these families, these dynasties. However, what can they do? They can rule them in accordance with the Shastra, with the Veda. So they follow the Veda. They do not object against the Veda. And then they can control these demoniac kings and families, dynasties, to some extent, that they don't do something really nasty like Hiranyakashipu is doing, that he's cutting all the fruit trees, killing all the brahmanas, banning all the sacrifices, all sacrifices forbidden. So that's already moving from the being demon by the family dynasty to being a demon by anti-devotional activity. So therefore, when Prahlad is the ruler, or Bali Maharaj is the ruler, they can at least avoid impeding devotional activities. You can see Bali Maharaj, he starts a yagya himself, and then he gives charity to Vishnu after Shukracharya warns him, this is Vishnu. He says, so much, it's even better, because every yagya is dedicated to Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to put it upside down, you know. If you are a rascal, you will be promoted. If you are a good person, you will be punished. It reminds me of the last century in some places in this world.
Was Parvati acting in accordance with the will of a pure devotee, Shiva? And was all of this what happened in accordance with the will of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna?
No, it was against the will of Krishna. Well, we can't blame everything on Krishna. So he gives us enough independence. You can see that even obstacles and challenges, even misery, trials and suffering are used by devotees as the stepping stones for advancement. And make it look like it was his. Krishna is so clever that even something is done against his will, he's still using it for the best. It's like a super clever chess great master. Grandmaster, thank you. I think Slovenia has, I know that like half the Ukrainian grandmasters somehow settled in Slovenia. Some world-class chess masters. I don't know why. A few settled nearby in Croatia. Kasparov, he took the Croatian citizenship running away from Russia, from world champion.
He is like political dissident, Kasparov.
Yes, he had to run away. So, whatever, sometimes they even sort of trap the opponent by sacrificing something to lure into making some apparently nice move. They think that it's bad for you, you lose something. But actually, it's part of a bigger plan that he wins even faster. Same in some martial arts. So if somebody is attacking, they use this power of the attack against the attacker. So this is what Krishna does. So even somebody thinks, okay, it's against Krishna's will, so we will do something. So then Krishna uses it to still, like the Kurukshetra war, or he uses it to still connect it to his plan, or connect it to some higher good, connect it to still help devotees, so much so that even Kunti says, Vipada Santutasha Shvat, our miseries were better, Vipad was better than this prosperity. Because in those miseries we were very tight with you, very close with you. So he will use this still to help devotee, to help the world, to glorify devotee, to elevate devotee to a higher level also. And a devotee's, our task is to find how, help Krishna, help us, find how it's Krishna's mercy. Help Krishna, look for how whatever seems negative is actually positive, how actually it's still Krishna's mercy. And as soon as we have learned this art, Brahmaji says, Mukti Padesa Dayabhag, then you're already guaranteed place at Krishna's feet. You're a good player. You're also a grand master, 6-degree black belt in using the negative attacks to your advantage or Krishna's advantage. As the Pandavas, as Kunti, as Vritrasura, as everybody. So seeing everything as Krishna's mercy, even if it seems negative. Yesterday we read Pingala. She glorifies that it seems like suffering, but because now I remember you, it's 100% guarantees that it is your mercy. There's no doubt about it. It must be your mercy. In Pingala Gita, yesterday we read, end of chapter 9, canto 11. So that's the art we need to learn, to find Krishna's mercy and thank Krishna. And as Prabhupada writes in his Markine Bhagavata Dharma, why did you bring me here? Anyway, you have brought me here. These people seem to be under strong influence of tamas and rajas, but the Bhagavatam says, tada rajas tamo bhava kamalobada yashchaye. By the Bhagavatam, the modes will be removed. Cheta etair anavidam stitam satve prasidati. They will be purified and established in pure sattva and happy. And evam prasanna manaso happily will understand the science of God. So, nachao, make me dance. As Vritrasara says. Everybody is dancing according to Krishna's script. So we have to find how to dance with Krishna. So can you imagine, even before the Rasa Lila, we can dance with Krishna. can dance in Rasa Lila, Prabhupada says, in Ishvapanishad, that's where we want to go. But even here, we can also dance. And we can dance clumsily, you know, he leads this way and we go that way. He pushes, no, go this way. And we, and we step on his foot. And then we step on 5 feet of everybody around us, you know, and everybody. So that's the training, the dancing school. We are here in the dancing school, you know. We learn the Swami step, so we don't step on other devotees' feet. And dance for Krishna's, according to Krishna's grand, beautiful choreography. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpadravyascha kripa sindubhya evacha vaditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.